Wow, that sounded really distorted and crazy. But anyway, it's Thursday night. Yeah, we're starting off a little bit late. I was messing around with the settings and got it all screwed up. So, but it's Thursday. This is Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm Chip, and we're going to kick it off. So let me go ahead and get the folks in here on Buzzards Row. There's Haywood.
Hey, what's man. Happening?
Well, we're a little late, but better late than never, right? Rob's in.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob.
Yo. Hey.
And there's Chuck. Chuck?
Hey.
What's up, man?
What's up,
hey,
man?
Hey. And in the chat room waiting patiently is Delozier, Mr. Mark, and Yak Angler Adam. All right. So, so I probably screwed it up for anyone wanting to listen to the live show tonight, but I was playing around scheduling episodes for the future, and it included the show for this evening, and by the time I looked up the clock, I got into the past time, so it wouldn't let me kick it off at 8. So you got to be a little bit more than 2 minutes before scheduled to be able to kick in a show. Anyways, so we got it started, and there's Kayak Kevin showing up now, so welcome aboard, and it has been bloody hot, as they might say, down in Australia. In fact, it's been in the hundreds here just about every day since last Friday. So we are going nuts here. I think we hit 105 was our max temp, and that was Saturday. So you just don't even want to be outside. But we are starting to get a little rain, so the heat is supposed to break, and maybe this weekend we will see some more cooperative weather. But my sound is kind of funny to me because I think we've got some thunderstorms beating on the lines up and down the road here. But anyways, we are about, I think we're inside of 90 days now for the boondoggle. So less than 3 months, and we are all going to be showing up and West Virginia, right?
West Virginia.
Virginia Beach, man.
No, Virginia Beach. All right, so I'm trying to read and talk, and I'm just not working well tonight. Maybe we should just let Rob do it.
No.
No. No, not West Virginia. My wife is going to West Virginia next week, but she's... Then we're going to Virginia Beach, First Landing State Park, 5 through 8 October. We're going to see the likes of the Losers, and I hope Kevin's still got it on his schedule. And Rob is planning on coming. Chuck's going to be there, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you got it.
So, Bill, are you going to try to make the boondoggle? Or?
No, I'm not going to be able to make that.
No? All right. I guess we'll just have to plan on doing a mini doggle to like Cedar Key or something, huh?
Yeah, I've got it in my calendar for August something. I can't remember.
Yeah?
I'll get back to you.
All right.
Let me see if I can find it.
Okay.
Well, but between ICAST and everything, I'm not going to be able to, you know, get the time off to come up there, so.
Right. All right. Well, we'll get one. Bill, you been doing any fishing, man? How did the Heroes on the Water go this weekend?
We didn't have one this weekend.
Oh, you didn't?
No, okay. It's the 22nd, 21st.
Okay.
That's when we're doing our next one. I was out a week ago. And then this yesterday we went out in the morning. Actually did real well yesterday morning. It was a good top water bite real early. Like I was telling you in the last show, that magic 20 minutes, 30 minutes first light was awesome. We couldn't get through the deep snook to get to the redfish. So that was a great little problem to have, seeing how bad a snook got hammered with the cold weather and everything.
Awesome.
I mean, we caught a bunch in the mid-20 range. So, and then by about 10 o'clock, it just got brutally hot, and we had it in. It was bad. And then the evening bite was pretty disappointed. You know, I had talked to you last Thursday night about it, and then I went out that following Friday night, and good water movement, lots of bait, just no fish. There was so much grass in the water that you couldn't work the top water. There was just so much floating grass and everything. So we went back Saturday night, and a little bit of the same. We had a little bit of mixed success. And I hooked something that took me on a Tampa Bay play ride, and I fought it for a good 15 to 20 minutes solid. Got the leader to the tip of the rod twice, and I still couldn't see the fish. And the last run, it kind of took off at a bad angle and popped my leader right in the middle. So it didn't break again. It broke in the middle. So I'm not sure if it tail flight popped it or what happened. And I had no idea what it was. But I can tell you what, the old Blair Wiggins, Wright McGill, 7'9" inshore rods.
Yeah.
You can't break them.
You can't.
I tried. Wait till you see the pictures. I sent the report in to Mark at Yak Angler, and it'll be up probably within a week. But, I mean, I was putting everything I could into that rod, and I had it doubled over, touching the water.
I saw that picture. You had a pretty good bend.
Yeah, the reel didn't hold up. It was a Kuma VS reel, and it stripped the gears out of that. So,
you wore the reel out, but the rod couldn't break. That's good.
I was literally putting everything I could into that, you know, and I had the tip in the water and the butt in my lap or in my stomach, and just hauling back on all I could, you know. And you could feel the fish come up, and I could see my leader. And I had about a 3-foot leader. I was like, well, God, he's got to be right there. But the water's so mucky, and the light was fading. I couldn't see anything, and I have no idea what it was.
It's probably like a 100-pound black drum or something.
I don't know, you know. I think it was a big stingray is what it was. Because those big rays will get to the bottom, and they'll just, you know, they'll, like, suck themselves right to the bottom, and you can't pull them up.
Yeah.
But it did kind of fight like a cobia. I saw it, you know, like it hit the bait and come at me and went by me. And went straight for deep water. And when they're on the flat, they head, when you hook them, they head straight for deep water.
Yeah.
The fact that I couldn't get it up off the bottom, but I did, you know, but I never saw a head or anything.
Yeah.
It was fun, though.
What kind of bait did you have on?
I just had a big chunk of cut mullet.
Oh.
I was just sitting there. I had my shark rod out behind me, and I had this little rod out in front of me working schools of mullet. And, you know, I don't have the energy to cast lures one after the other. And I was pretty tired. So this hit, and I jumped in my kayak, almost dumped the milk crate. It was like a tiny slide reel, man. Trying to clear rods and get in the kayak and pull the anchor and try to get line because this thing was spooling me. And then I fought it, and I asked my buddy Chris, I was like, hey, you want to take this? You know, and just as I was going to hand him the rod, well, it would take off on another run. I said, well, let me go get it. And, you know, because I was, by the time I was done fighting the damn thing, I couldn't lift my arms up, so.
That's a good one there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if it was Ray, I can't imagine how big that thing was, because yeah, I've caught some big ones out in the kid channels, but you know, I've always gotten him up, and I don't know, man. I don't know. Whatever it was, it was big.
When we did the boondoggle there in Charleston, the clone hooked in. We were fishing some cut mullet in this one little section where, as the tide was starting to fill back in the flats there, and there was some water coming around a bend, and I tossed a piece of mullet out there in the bend, and it took off. I mean, it was take and drag. It just like hit and ran, and he fought that thing just like that, man, over and over and over again. Trying to bring it up. We couldn't see what it was. He got it close. We see the tip of the leader, but it was all muddy because the water flooded back in on the flat. And then I grabbed the rod from him after. I mean, I let him go for like 30 minutes with the thing. And then I grabbed it. And it was like the rod was either going to break or the line was going to break. And I think he had the rod that had the 40-pound braid on it. And I was hauling on that thing, man. And finally, up comes the back end of a stingray, and the tail on that thing. The tail was as big around as a broomstick. I mean, it was
like the tail on the alien from the flipping around.
Yeah, exactly. As soon as I saw that, it was like, break out the knife because we're not bringing this thing in the damn kayak. But yeah, it was pretty nasty looking. But he had fun fighting it. He was wore out, so.
Yeah.
But
I thought, you know, it was kind of weird because, you know, I've caught big stingrays like that before, and they usually go, you know, they don't immediately head for, you know, deep water like that. I've had them peel out across the flats.
Right.
And stay in shallow water. This one went straight for the deep water, so.
Yeah.
Who knows what it was.
It's a good story, though.
Yeah, it's a good story. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's good to hook a big fish like that every once in a while just to learn you out.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Chuck, you still there?
Yeah, man.
What are you doing, man? What have you been up to? You fishing or what?
No, I played Gaddy Daycare this whole week. My mom and dad were out of town, so my drop-off point was out of commission. So I had the boys with me all week this week, and just like Bill was saying, trying to get ready for ICAST and make sure all my I's are dotted and T's are crossed. And we're in the waiting stages to find out whether or not we're flying out the day after ICAST to go to, I forget where now, San Salvador in the Bahamas.
Right.
So, but, you know, it's I'm dying to get on the water. I've got a lot of really good reports from this area. The topwater bite's still really good throughout the day around the mullet pods and stuff. A buddy of mine had a client on his flats boat, and they sight-fished the biggest sea trout I've ever seen in my entire life. This thing had to have been 36, 37 inches long, and the guy caught it on a fly. It was giant, and up in the lagoon, so... There's big fish still hanging around, and but you know the big thing right now, everyone's trying to pick a day to run offshore and try and tie it to a big tarpon or bonito or cobia or whatever else comes around out there because the beach has been pretty flat the last couple of weeks and the bait's everywhere. So if anybody thought about coming to the space center or the space coast this time of year to do a beach launch, it'd be a good idea.
Cool. Say hey to the little guy there.
Sorry about that, man. Say hi to everybody. No.
All right. Okay. Well, that sounds cool. Sounds good. All right. So we got Kevin in the chat room. We got R. Lee and Yak Chum on Stu Venable. And Adam is sleeping in there somewhere. Sorry I got kicked off late, folks, but we're doing a little technical jarhead issue this evening. So So, Rob, did you get to go fishing, or you just been video making?
Well, that too. I finished up my month of June video Sunday, and been having issues getting it loaded and all this. I'm just blah. Anyway, no, went fishing Sunday and had a Saturday we went to Southeastern Fishing Tackle Liquidators in Tampa, and my buddy had to pick up some gear and another rod and all that stuff. You know, he's turning into a when we go out fishing, he's got like 47 rods, like a bass fishing guy. You know,
cool.
Which is okay. You know, that's he's the one that's carrying him around, so that's cool. So we're out fishing and, we went out at it wasn't even light yet. You know, the sky was barely getting light when we started paddling out. So, we get out to the spot. There's a nice flat where I've probably caught 24 over 20 inch trout there in the last year, I would say. So it's a pretty nice spot there. And, so I'm throwing the top water, and it's like, you know, there's so much dead grass and stuff floating that it's making it difficult, you know. So when I did find a clear patch, though, you know, I chucked that badonkadonk in there, and sure enough, bang, you know, on one of the first handful of casts there, man, bang, got one fighting it. It's like diving under the kayak. I don't know what it is, man. It's hauling around. I mean, it's really, you know, something. You know, it feels like a redfish to me, you know. So I get it up and next to the kayak, and it's like a 20-inch sail cat, man.
On the top water.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, a little while later, you know, I'm like texting Chuck. I'm like, dude, you ever catch a big cat, you know, sail cat on a top water? Oh, yeah, man, pretty common. So that was a first for me. And, so that was cool, you know, whatever. It was something to put a bend in the rod. But a little while later, you know, getting closer to the little island there, this little corner, this little drop-off where I catch all these trout, you know, and go around the corner and, you know, I'm throwing the top water over there and it gets about halfway back to the kayak. And, you know, bait fish are spraying everywhere, you know, like, perfect size, about the size of a DOA, you know, shad tail, you know. So I got the Arkansas Glow on the other rod, so I picked that up and chucked that over. Well, anyway, halfway back to the kayak, a dink trout, you know, eats it. And, you know, what are those badonkadonk topwaters? Like, I don't know, 3.5 inches maybe, 4?
Yeah.
And, yeah, the dink trout was about 6. You know, so I'm like, man, you know, where's your mama? Where's your mama, you know?
Yeah.
And so I tossed the Arkansas Glow shad tail over there, man, and I moved it like 3 feet, and I feel bang, 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 and I'm like, oh, here's another dink trout. And so I pull up on it, and it's nothing but weight. I'm like, wow, okay, that's not a dink trout. Get it up next to it, and it, like, jumps out of the water completely. I mean, like, I thought I had a juvenile tarp in there for a second. Get it up, and it's a over 25-inch trout, man, right there. I mean, it's beautiful. Probably one of the biggest ones I've seen over here. Probably my second biggest of the year, I would have to say. It was beautiful, man. So got it on video. I was pulling its head up out of the water with the line, and then I'm getting my other hand under it to you know, pull it into the kayak. And, I mean, dude, it was hooked deep. It was like, you know, its mouth was closed, and you couldn't see the lure at all, you know, so it's in there. And he opens his mouth and does a head shake and pops right off, man. Lure will, like, hit me right in the face.
Wow.
Yeah.
That hurts.
So that's not the exciting part of the day. The exciting part of the day was my buddy Keith caught a respectable sheep's head on a mini muridine, and as he's getting the fish off, it's one of the Blair Wiggins addictive fishing ones with the, you know, with the trocar hooks, and puts one in his finger.
Cool.
Like, through. And
ow.
I'm like, oh, yeah, here's my multi-tool, dude. Just, you know, back it out. Here, come on, we'll do the fishing line snatch trick, you know. and I was like, I was just afraid to do it, man. But he was able to paddle back in, and we went to Walmart and bought some clippers, and that didn't work. And, you know, some wire cutters, that didn't work. Tried the snatch trick, that didn't work.
Oh.
I was afraid to, like, just give it the old yank, you know. I didn't know what kind of ligaments are there and nerves and cartilage and all that stuff. So I didn't want to chance that.
If it was all the way through, you know, if you could see the barbs. And
you could see the tip. Yeah, the tip was sticking out the other side.
Yeah, then your deal there is just push it on through and cut the barb off.
Yeah, he couldn't do I was trying to do that, but he couldn't. And when I got the wire clippers on it, it twisted it.
Ow.
Oh, man, yeah, it wasn't a fun day. So I had to cut it short and go home early. And it was okay, though, because after those three fish and he caught a sheep's head, that was it, man. I mean, we weren't really catching anything. So you'll have that.
Yeah. So, well, sounds cool, man. Everybody's been getting on the water, and I'm ready for the boondoggle. But I saw something new that I want to bring up tonight, and I don't know how many of you guys have pen reels in your arsenal, but their 50th anniversary for the Spinfisher, the you know your old SSG model kind of thing, just their basic spinning reel. Is coming up in October, and they've got it.
That's a black and gold?
Yeah, they redesigned it. So they got the fifth generation coming out in October. And actually, they're giving away one every day until October, I guess. It says, yeah, every weekday for 50 days leading up to the release. So you can sign up, and I put the link in the chat room. But you could go to penreels.com and check it out. But they got the HT100 drags on them now. They're also putting the live liner drag on them on some of the models, so that's kind of cool. If you like doing the live baiting, it works out pretty cool. But they're going to have it on the live liner will be on the 4500, the 6500, and the 8500. So those are respectable sizes for putting a live bait out, and you just put that little rear drag on and. The fish can take off and run, and you can leave the bail closed. So it only puts about maybe 3 or 4 pounds of drag on it. Keep it from unwinding on you. So, but pretty cool. Looks neat coming out. I'm sure you guys are going to see some new stuff when you get over to ICAST. So that'll be cool. Hopefully you guys have your phones rocking and rolling. We can talk to you live there during the shows.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
Yeah. So... But I like pen reels. I like pen and Shimano. Those are on my reels. So
well, Tip, I'm gonna have my good friend Brian, who's a pure fishing rep. I'm gonna have him on the show sometime after ICAST.
Very cool.
I spoke with him about having to maybe book a time to sit down with him over at ICAST and talk to him, and during that conversation. He brought up the fact that he still hasn't been on the show, so we'll have to have him on and talk about it. That is actually one of the things I'm pretty excited about seeing that reel for sure. I'll be honest, like I love my Shimano stuff, but Penn has really stepped up the last couple of years with the battle, with the fears. They brought back brought to the plate a lot of reels that have the old Penn quality that was lacking for so many years. And it'll be interesting to see what they do with this reel.
Yeah, I think the moves that Pure Fishing has made, you know, they're being the parent company now. They've got some better quality control. I put a slammer on one of my rods, a brand new slammer, 360, I think it is, on one of my rods, and I love it. I mean, it's a casting machine. If you like the spinning reel, and it works, and the drags are really smooth on them. That HT100 drag is pretty smooth. So I look forward. It'd be cool to get him online and let's talk to him about it. But somebody cued it in the chat room there. All right, Bill, you taking off?
Yeah, I gotta run, fellas.
Okay, man. Tight lines. Let us know
Take care.
It goes this weekend, man.
Do that.
All right, bye. So, here's the cue.
Boondoggle. Boondoggle. What the heck is a boondoggle? It's a bunch of crazy kayakers getting together in Virginia Beach, October 5th through 8th. For more information, check out yakangler.com, the ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Yeah, and then what's that yak angler stuff? That's this.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
That's right. You can find out about the boondoggles on kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle or yakangler.com/boondoggle. And we're inside of 90 days now. We're two-digit midgets, and we're headed for Virginia Beach. And I put in the chat room a little bit earlier about the mini rod competition. I think we might kind of put a little spice onto the 50-50 contest. And if you bring a little rod, like a Ronco Pocket Fisherman or a M-Rod, what's another little rod there? Maybe like if you had a Barbie rod or a Spider-Man rod or a Batman rod or something like that, some little rod. Or I don't know, should we allow like a Cuban reel, like a hand line?
No.
No?
No, guys can pull up a 100-pound grouper on a Cuban reel.
Oh, yeah. I know, because I got like four of them. Yeah, they're like got rope on them, man. but yeah, so any little rod, and then we'll sell some, we'll get people to the pot, and we'll do like maybe talk about it some more as we get closer, but maybe do like the 50-50 there, so 50 goes to Big Fish with the mint rod, and the other 50 will contribute to the local Howl chapter there, because I know they've got a good Howl chapter going up in there. What, Mark? Lozier. What's up? So yeah, we could maybe think about doing that. But I think definitely, no matter what, we should have like a little mini rod competition. See who can bring in big fish with a little mini rod or a pocket fisherman. Are you game?
Heck yeah, man. That's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Go to Walmart tomorrow and pick up a little Mighty Mite.
A little Mighty Mite, yeah.
I was looking at those, man.
I think that's what I've got. They're like, it's like the old pistol grip style grip, but then the rod that is not, it's made out of metal, like the M-Rod, but it's long. It's probably about maybe 24 inches long. It's got like two loops in it, one on the end and one in the middle. And then it's got a little closed face bait caster on it.
The ones we have down here have little tiny spinner reels on them. They're like little 1,000 size spinner reels, yeah.
Oh, that would be cool too, yeah. So you bring your hot rod, mini rod. And, yeah, there you go. So Adam says he should just bring an Adam-sized fishing rod.
He'd hold one of those, and it would look like a 7-footer, man.
Yeah, he's got like a surf rod there.
I'll get one. Yeah, we have those. They're about 2 foot long. It's a spinning combo. It's got a tiny spinning reel on that thing, probably loaded with about, I don't know, between 2 to 5 pound test. And they really remind me of the old like jigging poles that we used to use when we were ice fishing. They had like balsa wood handles on them and stuff, man. I mean, it's really funny.
Right. So you could, if you had like an old ice fishing rod, you could bring that too.
Yeah. Now I'm wondering, should I like beef it up with some braid or something, or should I just go as is?
I think you could probably. Adam says he's got an ice fishing rod that holds a bait caster. It'd be perfect. Yeah, I think it's up to you. I guess you could hot rod it a little bit if you want to, but remember, you go putting like 40-pound braid on that thing, and it's just going to come up. Number one, on the little bitty reel, you're only going to get like 30 yards of line on it. So when you get to the end, you're going to get spooled pretty quick. So
Could put like some 10 pound on it or something, you know. That's what diameter of 6
yeah.
or 4 or
yeah,
something like that.
A 2 or 4 pound test, yeah.
There you go.
And
all you need is 100 feet.
The drag on one of those things isn't gonna work. Isn't gonna last very long if you hook into a big fish.
Well, you're the drag, man. You're sitting in the kayak, you're the drag.
You just lock it down and start chasing the fish around. I think it's kind of, you know, as long as we'll just have everybody who's going to be in the competition, and you just bring what you got, and everybody can thumbs up or thumbs down on it and say, yeah, it's a mini rod, or no, it's not. And I'll have a couple of extra ones for people who don't have something to bring. But
I think that you should throw a little, like, caveat where you can – like a little option, if you catch the fish on a banjo minnow, then you're like, you get bonus points.
If you use the tackle that came with the pocket fisherman,
there you go.
That little bobber and the little gold hooks that came with it, you get extra points. You get extra inches for your fish. So. I don't know. We'll do like a little rules committee the night before, you know, and certify everyone's mini rods, and then you go out for the day, see what you can catch.
Or put a 4,000 spinning reel on it.
No, but yes, I think that'd be fun. Just, you know, if you had the Barbie rod or the Batman rod or something like that, that would be cool. But you can also use like a pocket fisherman or an M-rods might be cheating, though, man, because they're pretty sturdy. They're pretty stout. You can put a decent reel on those things.
What about a launcher?
You had the launcher rod. That's right. See? Oh, I don't know. Or maybe one of those little remote control boats, you know, that trolls the thing around.
Oh, my God. How hilarious would that be?
Some big striped bass. Take the tube worm that you got trolling behind that thing, and your boat just disappears underwater. It's just gone, right?
Turns into a submarine.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're gonna need a bigger boat. So, all right. Well, that's about all I've got for this evening. It's been fun. We got off to a late start and. Got some folks showed up. We're looking forward to the boondoggle coming up here, and we're just inside of 3 months now. It's July. You know, it's going to be the end of September, and you're going to say, "Oh my gosh, the boondoggle is just around the corner," and it is. So we'll be talking it up some more as the weeks go by, and whittling down the getting everybody excited about the mini rods, and also the folks that we're going to. There. Guys in the chat room there, R. Lee, Yak Tump, Yak Angler Adam, and Kevin. A couple of guests. Hey, next time you show up in the chat room there, use your Facebook ID if you've got one, and go ahead and sign in. You can play with the rest of us there in the chat room. You going fishing this weekend, Chuck? Or you're headed out, right?
I'm going to go. I'm kayakless at the moment, so I'm going to end up probably being in a boat, but we're going to head out and look for big tarpon and some big kingfish, maybe some bonitas to play with on fly. And then jumping right into ICAST next week.
Awesome.
Well, you're going with me on Monday, right?
Oh, yeah. There you go. Forgot about it, Rob. My bad. I'm probably dish fishing with Rob on Monday. You know what? I say dish fishing. We should try and get offshore, dude.
Cool.
I should call one of my buddies to see if I can't get you a ride offshore. We'll go out and see if we can jump 100-pound tarpon.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. Cool. So that's your plans for the weekend, Rob?
Yeah. I'm going camping Sunday through Wednesday.
As hot as it is up here, I know it's cooler down there, and you're probably going to be camping out on the beach somewhere. That just does not sound like a great idea.
At the springs. You got to go to the springs. In the summer.
Oh, well, the springs are always like 72 degrees. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, we'll see you again next week. And check out yakangler.com, kayakfishradio.com, check out our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter. Yeah, the sound is kind of messing up. I think it's the thunderstorms around here, but we'll do it again next week. And this time we'll be on time, all right? So, tight lines, y'all. Take a kid fishing. Rob, Chuck, thanks for showing up. We'll see you next week.
Hey, man.
See ya.
All right, good night.